We're going to continue. Children may go with Justin right now if they'd like to, and the rest of us will turn to Luke chapter 22 as we get started. I want to read something to you real quick while we're looking that up. Luke chapter 22. So the Saturday Evening Post in the September to October edition of 2000, that publication, it says this right here. It gives this information. In our sleep-deprived culture, it appears many people question the value of rest. Some even cut back on their sleep to carve out time for exercise. For what it's worth, you burn around 70 calories per hour simply sleeping. This means a good 8-hour night of sleep approximates a 5-mile jog. I figured somebody's going to be like, hey, that's some good news right there. Now I got some ammunition when I go to the doctor's office, right? And he's like, you need to start exercising. I know, I need to take a nap. That's what I need to do. I thought that was good news, y'all. Y'all are sitting there like, what does this have to do with anything at church? Well, we're about to find out. Let's look at what happens. Last week we looked at, we're kind of going backwards in some of the happenings about surrounding Easter. Last week we talked about when Jesus was arrested, he was kind of handed over with a kiss, remember, in verses 47 and on. And we talked about how he could have turned Jesus in any other way, but he decided the most intimate way to interact with Jesus and kissed him on the face and hugged him and said, this is the one. And then we all know what happened after that. Today we're going to look at verse 39 and some verses after that. If I can keep up this morning with the PowerPoint. Uh-oh. Not my fault this time. They'll have to switch it back there. We're going to read verse 39 and continue into that. It says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. This is after the Last Supper. This is after they were finished eating, and he informed them of some things that were going to happen and tried to prepare them, even told them that Judas would betray Jesus, right? They all knew the things that were going to come, or at least had the information, didn't know what to do with it. It says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Verse 43 says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. In verse 45, are we working? No. In verse 45, he says, when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation. In Mark chapter 14 and Matthew chapter 26, we can read the same account or a different account of the same event or the same time. A little bit more information. Matthew gives a lot more information about that event. What I want to talk about is two things here. I want to kind of point out things that we can notice and things that we can take from what's happened here as we proceed into our time of Easter celebration, focusing on Jesus, who he is and was, and what this whole Easter celebration is about, right? Many times people focus on the cross, his arrest, his beatings, his sufferings, his accusations, his false accusations, right? The torment that he went through to be crucified, and then his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we picture when we talk about Easter and when we celebrate Easter. That's what we talk about generally. But this event right here is toward the beginning of the process that God used to bring Jesus to the cross. that Jesus used to inform his disciples about what was going to happen, trying to prepare them for what God's plan was to be. Right? Do y'all ever feel like you're not prepared for what God's doing? Say yes. I'm never prepared for what the Lord does. I should be, but I'm not. And I'll tell you why. It's because I don't know the mind of God. But if I'm paying attention to the Spirit of God, I should know something. I shouldn't be surprised anyway. Well, we have Jesus and we have the disciples in the evening, in after dark, in the wilderness, and Jesus is talking to the Father. So let's talk about Jesus just for a minute. I don't know if I'm working or not. It might not be helpful. There we go. Let's talk about Jesus. Here's what brings me great comfort about Jesus, not only as our Savior, but as our Lord, right? Jesus came into this world in the flesh. That is important to me, and I hope it's important to you, because it means that whatever can happen to me in this world, Jesus has already experienced that in some way, form, or fashion. He knows what I think and how I feel from experience. So how that makes him the one that I can go to. That makes him the one that can speak to the Lord, the Father, for me, because he knows what goes on. Look what it says. When we read this story, it says that he prayed to the Father. That tells me that Jesus himself in the flesh had a need to talk to the Father. And if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, guess what that means for me? I have a need to talk to the Father. I cannot live this Christian life without talking to the Father. Because Jesus in this account here, and in all of the other accounts, his entire ministry was about God's mission to save the sinner. When Jesus came into the world, it was all about being on mission for the kingdom of God. And when we say yes to Jesus and we give our life to Christ and we're repenting and confessing Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are on mission for the kingdom. How on earth can we be on mission if we don't ever talk to the Father? I mean, Jesus did that. Here's what else I see. He experienced anxiety and stress. Jesus did. Our Lord in the flesh. I don't know about you, but I've experienced anxiety and stress in my life before I was saved and after I'm saved. I think every single one of us in this room in the last 15 months have experienced anxiety and stress. Right? I take great comfort in knowing that Jesus knows what that's about. Right? I don't rejoice over his sufferings because he suffered, but I know that when I talk to the Father, he doesn't just hear my words, he knows my words. He knows what I'm talking about. He knows the feelings that I'm having, or he knows the darkness that exists in our hearts and minds. Isn't that great? We don't have a God who doesn't know us. We don't have a Savior who hasn't been there. And here he is, just before he's about to be arrested. It's his time has come to complete the mission. And he goes to the Father and he prays. Look at verse 43. I like this part of what's happening. He says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. You ever felt like you were weak and you just needed God's strength? Right? Well, here's our Savior in the same condition. Goes before the Father because he knows what's about to happen. He knows it's no small task. He knows that even he in the flesh is going to be bad. It's not like Jesus came into the world and said, let me just handle this real quick and it's going to be a breeze. What I do, right? Because the offenses that we've committed against him are great. And the consequences of those sins are great. And because we couldn't and can't afford to pay that price, praise God, we have a Savior to do so. Right? But in the middle of the act of bringing grace into our life and forgiveness, we see the humanity of Jesus in the flesh, and he's experiencing everything that any other human being would experience. Fear, anxiety, stress. It says the angel appeared and strengthened him. You think everything would be better right then, wouldn't you? I think it was, but look what else it says in verse 44. He said, and being in anguish, our Lord was in anguish, he prayed earnestly. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I fail in this area. When I'm overwhelmed by emotion, it's not always the first thing that I do is to pray earnestly. I want it to be, but it's not. Right? Especially when our emotions cause us to go into a state of some kind of panic about the situation. Oh, if we could only be more like Jesus in those times, wouldn't that be great? Because Jesus' first reaction was to pray more earnestly. I got to get closer to God. I got to get closer to the one who's in control of all of this. Right? I got to get close to the Father. This is why Jesus died, by the way, so that we could all get closer to the Father. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about, showing us that the door is open because of the blood of Christ. Because of what Jesus is about to experience and what all of these emotions in his heart and mind are going on, because he's about to provide an open door for me and for you. Should we choose to receive that invitation? Look what else it says, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, Matthew and Mark don't say these things, and some people believe that these two verses weren't part of the original writings, which my understanding is it doesn't necessarily matter when it comes to the reality of what's going on. All I know is Jesus was in a situation in his ministry, in his mission for God, where he knew that he needed the Father or he was not going to be successful. Here's what else we can maybe know. He told the disciples, like, y'all need to be praying so that you don't fall into temptation. He's telling them. And in Matthew, three times in Matthew, he tells them that. Matthew's account says he came back three separate times and said, look, y'all need to get up and y'all need to pray. But he finds them asleep every time. Right? I have to believe that in Jesus, even though he's God in the flesh, he's tempted to quit the mission. Because he was tempted after he was baptized, remember? Satan took him off into the wilderness and said three different times, tempted, you could have all this if you just quit the mission. Just quit the mission and do this. Right? And all three times, Jesus was able to be faithful to the mission and choose to stay true to what God sent him here to do. So how assume that Satan wouldn't still try to tempt him to quit? And here he is, moments before he knows he's about to be arrested. He knows what's coming. He knows how bad it's going to be. And he knows he's the only one that can make it happen successfully. And we also know that he's in the flesh. He's just like we are in that way, in his humanity. And if he's just like we are, and he had to be just like we are, or he's not the perfect sacrifice, right? So therefore, I have to understand that he must have been tempted to quit. Yeah, I'm not going to do this. Here's how I suspect that. His prayer is, in verse 42, if you are willing, take this cup from me. If I were going to say that in my own words, I would say, Father, I don't want to do this. You ever been about to do something that you really didn't want to do? But you know it either has to be done or it's something that you kind of everybody else is doing. So you got, sometimes it's like you got to go through some things for your family, for your children. I don't want to do this. But you know you got to do it. Sometimes it's something as silly as getting on a roller coaster at an amusement park. I don't want to do this, but all your friends are doing it, and you don't want to look like a fool. So you get on there anyway, and you suffer through it, right? And if you've never experienced that, then you're the one who drug your other friend that didn't want to go onto the roller coaster. I'm just saying. Don't. All I know is Jesus absolutely needed the Father in this moment. Right? Jesus absolutely needed the Father to get through this moment of human weakness. Because in his heart, he definitely did want to be faithful to God and his mission, to the Father, to the plan, to the reason that he was here, because he loved you and me. And he did not want to quit that. Sometimes love means you have to do those hard things. We experience all those things that Jesus experienced, don't we? Every single thing that we can decipher out of what was going on, we know that we experience those things from time to time. Maybe not to this level. Maybe not this intensely, but maybe so. Life happens, doesn't it? And usually the daily stresses, we've learned how to get through. But sometimes you get that phone call. Right? Sometimes the news says there's a sickness that's really dangerous and we all need to react to it. And we don't know what to do about that. We're just not ready for those things sometimes. Sometimes the Lord turns your world upside down because he calls you into a ministry that you're not ready for. Sometimes your children don't go the way that you thought they would, even if it's a great thing what they're doing, it's just not what you expected, and you're just like, you worry about your children. Right? Jesus absolutely needed the Father to be who he came here to be. We absolutely need to be connected to the Father in this way so that we can be who we're called to be. Y'all see? Jesus didn't just die on the cross. We don't just celebrate Easter because we get to go to heaven if we're forgiven, right? That's a great reason to celebrate Easter, but it's not the only thing. You're saved so that God can be glorified. You're saved so that you can live in this world and make disciples and love people to the point where they can't ignore God anymore. And there's times when you just want to quit that mission because it's hard or because it's stressful, because it means you might have to suffer. It means you might have to be persecuted. It means you might not get what you want in life. That's why we need the Father. He told his disciples to pray that you will not fall into temptation. And early on, when I first started studying Jesus and studying the Bible and growing in Christ after I was saved, I would read that and I'm like, why is he talking to God about not having to, you know, not wanting to go to the cross, and maybe God can do something different, but really knowing that God's not going to do anything different and just coming to terms with it's God's way, right? Which he already knew. He just expressing himself to the Father to get strengthened. And in the middle of it, he keeps walking back over to the disciples like, y'all need to get up and pray so you're not tempted. And I'm like, tempted about what? They're just sleeping in the woods. Right? But Jesus, he just sat and ate supper with them and explained to them a lot of things that were going to happen. He just explained to them that somebody was going to turn him in. Somebody at the table was going to betray him. He just explained to Peter that he was going to deny him after Peter was like, over my dead body, is somebody going to? And he's like, no, you're going to deny me too. And suddenly the plan that the disciples thought was in place and the king that they thought was present wasn't really the king that they were seeing. The plan wasn't the plan that they were looking at. God's plan was totally different than what they could ever have expected. And Jesus knew that that was just going to rock their world. And that because it was going to be so traumatic for them, they would be tempted to leave the mission. What was the mission? They were being trained to build the church after Jesus went to be with the Father after his resurrection. Remember? They were being discipled so that they can go and make disciples. They were being trained to preach the gospel. Little did they know what would happen on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They were told, but how could they know? Right? How could they possibly know the fullness of God's plan until it happens? Just like you and I. How could I know exactly what God is going to do for every day of my life for his ministry? How could I know what God is going to do? Right? Remember, we're on a need-to-know basis with God. I thank God for that, by the way. I used to not thank God for that, but I do. Because I don't really want to know everything that God's going to do, because it would probably scare the fool out of me. Right? I'd probably be like Moses, be like, no, that ain't going to happen. I ain't going to be able to do that. These are some Martin County friends right down here, by the way. And a couple of them know me for a long time. Actually, my son's youth minister's wife, she knows us. She knows who I used to be. And she'll tell you that me standing right here preaching this message to y'all is not what we all thought was going to happen. Right? Here's the second thing, the disciples. Let's look at the disciples really quickly. We can relate to the disciples, can't we? I mean, I'm going to let you know something. They just ate supper with Jesus. Now, how many of y'all, when you eat supper, you get in that recliner and you kick that thing back and the eyelids come down? You get enough to eat, you're going to take a nap. And then we're burning calories, right? I got news for my doctor. I might sleep 12 hours tomorrow. I can relate to these guys. I don't think they were really sleeping because their bellies were full, but I think it might have contributed to it. Some people think they were sleeping because they were weary from worry, which is what it really says right here, doesn't it? He says when he rose from prayer, verse 45, he went back to the disciples and found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Because Jesus had told them a lot of things that didn't agree with what they had in their mind about what Jesus was doing this whole time. And suddenly, their mind was blown to the point where they were worried about, okay, well, maybe did we misunderstand Jesus? Did we follow the wrong guy? What's going on here? If it's not going to be this way, then what's going to be like? And everything that Jesus described doesn't sound very good. And they spent the evening in worry. Have you ever worried yourself tired? Have you ever been so tired and you don't realize it until somebody comes along and says, you got too much stress in your life? You stay up all night worrying about things that God should be in control of. I've been there. That's why we can relate with the disciples. We pray, right? We ask God to take care of our needs and concerns and worries, and we tell God what the problems are. And hopefully we're praising God, and hopefully we're seeking his will for our ministry. But then we stay up all night worrying about it, as if we never gave it to God. And this is why Jesus kept going back to the disciples, according to Matthew's account. You guys need to get up. You guys need to be talking to God right now, because you don't know what's about to happen. Right? our congregation, this congregation right here, before February of last year, we had a lot of momentum as far as where the church is going and as far as how we're going to minister to the community. We were all getting excited. I was feeling the pressure because y'all were getting so excited about making disciples. I was like, I got to go. I got to help these people find something to do here. I got to get busy. Right? And then it all got shut down. And we didn't know what to do. Right? That's where these guys are. They thought they were excited. They were following Jesus. They were doing everything he said to do. In fact, to the point where Peter looks at Jesus and says, nobody is going to arrest you unless they kill me first. And that's what you would hope a devoted follower would say in their statement of commitment, right? But Jesus is like, you don't understand what's happening. You just don't understand. Sometimes God is saying the same to us. You don't understand what I'm doing. And it's okay, because we're not intended to understand. You don't have to understand everything that God's doing in the world and in your life or in your family or in your church. We don't have to understand. That's why we walk by faith. We just have to trust God. These guys were laying in the woods, wore out from worry, because they didn't trust that what Jesus was saying was God's plan. Let's try to learn from that. They were sleeping when they should have been praying. They didn't see the value in preparing in prayer. You ever heard of something like that? I think most responsible adults know that you should probably prepare for stuff every day, right? Most young people that are learning to be prepared and responsible, they kind of learn how to be prepared, right? We learn hard lessons sometimes because we're not prepared. These guys didn't understand what was about to happen when Judas showed up with this crowd and kissed Jesus on the face. They did not understand when that snowball was pushed down the hill, it was going to be bad. And they were not prepared for that. How many of y'all have experienced stuff that you weren't prepared for? And in that moment, you thought your life was totally devastated and you didn't know how you were going to recover. That's what prayer is all about. Not just praying over your meal, not just having our prayer time in our Bible studies and worship. I'm talking about wee hours of the night, don't know what to say, so the Spirit of God has to speak for you kind of prayer. Yeah? There's some things in this world that we're not able to get through without that kind of prayer. I don't understand how people who aren't saved get through it. Most of the time, they come out beaten and battered if they come out of it without the Lord. We have access to the Father. We should be talking to Him always, especially when we're distraught in our hearts and our minds. I would suggest that we learn from the disciples that we shouldn't wait for the thing to happen. Let's get prepared ahead of time. They should have been all night talking to God, even if they didn't know what they were talking about. Maybe Jesus wanted them to spend all night listening to God. They were tempted. They were always tempted. Peter is the poster boy for temptation and giving in to temptation. And I say that because Peter often talked first and then learned next second. Right? That's why Jesus had to say to him, "Get behind me, Satan." That's why he was always questioning whatever was going on in the plan of the disciples. But it's also why Jesus stepped out of the boat and walked on water with Peter. Stepped out of the boat, walked on water with Jesus. He's the only one to do that, because his reaction was to step out in faith. A lot of times it got him in trouble. But you need to talk to God. We have the Holy Spirit now, and we have the ability to be led by the Holy Spirit. So why not talk to the Father? They didn't know the plans of God, did they? We don't know the plans of God. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this congregation. Here's what I do know. God is faithful, and everything He does do is for His glory, and there's blessings within it for all of us. And I know that if we stay faithful in pursuing that, we will be blessed because God is glorified. Here's what else I learned from the disciple is because Jesus had an absolute need for the Father, they had an absolute need for the Father. Which means I have an absolute need to be connected to the Father. It's absolutely necessary. Cannot live the Christian life without communication with the Father. And I don't mean just little thank yous here and there, little I need this or I need that. I mean, wherever your prayer closet is, lay it before the Lord wide open. This is what it is and this is what's going on. Let the Lord deal with all of it. There's way too many times we try to keep stuff hidden from God and we're only fooling ourselves. One thing that I think I've learned, I tried to learn and I'm trying to be faithful to is if the Lord is trying to help me grow or trying to call me to repentance over something, correct me, if I don't deal with those things first when I get with Him, it's hard for Him to deal with those other things that I want to talk about. Because especially if I'm in sin, I cannot be before Him unclean. And without repentance and forgiveness, you're unclean. He wants to talk about the things that you need to be doing for your ministry. He wants to talk about things that will help you understand why is this happening or why isn't this happening or why are my kids being this way or how come my wife or husband is doing this or how can I understand Jesus? How can I witness to my neighbor? All those things are great things to talk to God about, but if there are things in the way of that conversation, we fail. We'll be asleep in the woods with the disciples. We absolutely need the Father. There was one more short illustration. Somebody may have told you guys this before, but there was a preacher who had an invitation after his message, and a man came forward, and he was just asking for prayer. And he asked the preacher, he's like, there's all kinds of cobwebs in my life, and I just want the Lord to help me clean out the cobwebs. In the darkest corners of his heart, he was just trying to, he was just being real with the preacher. He didn't want to really announce it there, but he just like, so the preacher just turned him around and prayed for him in front of the whole church. And he's like, he started praying and he's like, this man wants the cobwebs cleaned out of his life and we want you to help him with that. But most of all, Lord, we want you to kill the spider that's building those cobwebs. Sometimes we're not asking for the right things or we're not seeking the Lord in the right way. Sometimes we're not going to the Lord the way Jesus did. Jesus went to the Lord and said, I don't want to do this. If there's another way, let's do that. But I don't really want to do this. But at the same time, he was also saying, but if this is the only way and this is what you're going to do, then let's do it. Give me strength to do it. Sometimes we don't ask for God to kill the spiders in our hearts because we love those spiders. You can deny it if you want to. Sometimes those spiders are the things that we chase after and they interfere with our relationship with God. And we can't go to God the way Jesus did if we're not being totally honest about what we feel and who we are and what we think. We're supposed to be on mission. We're supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus every day of our life. We're supposed to be showing the world what that's all about. And if we don't go to the Father and get serious every time we go to Him, how can we be about the Father's business? Genuinely, right? Genuinely. I know y'all want to be effective. I know y'all love the Lord and y'all want to love people and I know y'all want people to get saved. I don't think the disciples really knew where they were failing in this moment. He tried to encourage them. I just think that they were so stressed out about life that they couldn't see it. They couldn't even begin to walk in faith toward it. Because they were so stressed out, they were asleep. I think this is one of the most intense and serious moments in all of the moments that have ever existed in the world. That's what I think. And I pray that your prayer life and mine continue to grow more like Jesus' prayer life. Because I know that's what's going to make us be who He died for us to be. I know that's what's going to make us present the most appropriate witness to the world. I know that's what's going to allow other people in our lives to see Jesus in us. Right? And the closer we get to the Father, the more the Spirit of God will say to us when we're being tempted, no, no, that's not who we are. Don't do that. And you're going to be able to say no to temptation. And you're going to be able to say, that's not who I am. And you're going to be able to walk away or flee when called for. And God will be glorified in that. These guys, when Jesus was arrested, what was Peter's reaction to that immediately? This man drew out his knife and started swinging to be faithful to what he said he committed to Jesus for. He said, "I'm over my dead body. Are you going to be arrested?" And he meant it. And Jesus looks at him like, "Hold up, put that thing away. That's not who we are. That's not what we do." And I wonder if they had been up all night praying, talking to the Father, would Peter have had that reaction? Would he have had a better reaction, a different reaction? Would he have been able to be led by the reality of what was going on? Maybe he probably wouldn't have understood it totally, but he may not have reacted in a way that was going against God's plan. He didn't realize it was God's plan that he'd be arrested. It was God's plan that he'd be beaten and tortured. It was God's plan that he would go to the cross because Peter is a sinner. And because God loves Peter. You can put your name in there too. Put my name in there. We can see Jesus' humanity here, which brings hope into our hearts. We can also learn from the disciples. We can learn from their failure. Let's not get caught unprepared in our journey for Christ, in our journey in this world. Let's do what we can to not be caught off guard. I wonder what it was like to watch Jesus pick up an ear and put it back on the side of somebody's head as if nothing ever happened. Can you imagine? You think that got Peter's attention? Like, oh, something else is going on here. let me just put this back in where it goes. I'm not going to do that. But you notice, if you know the story, if you know how it went, after Jesus was arrested, all them fellas ran away, didn't they? They were not prepared for this. They had no resource to draw from. Confusion happened. Fear happened. Anxiety and stress happened. And their natural reaction as a human being is to run away from that. All I know is pandemic or no pandemic, struggles, stress, anxiety in our lives, hardships, loss, you name it, whatever can happen in life to disrupt what you think you got going on is nothing for God to handle. God can take care of it all, and none of it surprises him. So with God's help, we endeavor to be about the Lord's business no matter what. We just keep right on. Because God's not surprised by hardship. He's not surprised by the things that go on in our lives or don't go on. He's not surprised by the things that seem to hit us like a freight train. Things that overwhelm us. Not surprised. And we don't know what God is doing with all of that in our lives. We have no way to know exactly what God is doing and why he's allowing it. What I do know is God is faithful. And whatever he's doing, it's for his glory. And whatever he's doing, he will give us the strength that we need to get through. Even if it kills us. Hello? You weren't ready for that one. Some people sit there and think, okay, well, if God's faithful and he'll give us everything, then I'll survive everything. No. Every one of us is going to leave this world in some way or another. And until then, we got to be faithful. We got to be diligent about pursuing being like Jesus. And from what I read in this Bible, I see our Lord and our Savior in the flesh, on his face, totally stressed out before the Father. needing what the Father has to offer to be faithful to his mission. And if we think for some reason or another we don't need that ourselves, we will fail. Right? It is totally appropriate to admit two things, that you're not God, right, and that you need him. I love you and the Lord loves you. We all, individually in our homes and here in our congregation and as the body of Christ around the world, we need to pray always. We need to go to the Father always, and we need to go to him earnestly as Jesus did. We need to go to him continuously as Jesus did, intentionally seeking his will. You know, we don't always know God's plans. I don't know why God allows such nonsense to happen in the world, why he allows suffering. It's one of the biggest questions that people ask the preacher. Why does God allow so much suffering? Why does he allow sickness? And if any good preacher will say, I don't really know completely why he allows it, but I know it's his plan and he's doing something with it. If we're not prepared for life, if we're not prepared for his will, if we're not prepared spiritually, if we're not growing, seeking him, we'll be caught off guard, we'll be derailed. Those are the moments that we give in to temptation, and those are the moments that we get away from God. Those are the moments that we give in to sin. Those are the moments that we compromise, give in to false teaching because the world is hard right now, because we're not prepared, because we haven't spent enough time with the Father. What's this got to do with Easter? Well, it's part of the Easter story, for one thing, and two, this is what Jesus died for. This is why Jesus died. So that we could have access to the Father in this way, so that we could bring him glory, and so that people will know him and be saved. Isn't that great? I hope this is encouraging to y'all, and I hope it's a reminder to y'all. And if you need it, I hope it's convicting. I hope it's all of the above. Because we need our Father. No more or less than we needed him yesterday. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, if you've never committed to him, you never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, and you're just still sitting in your sin, maybe you just realize that that's the situation. All you have to do is repent and confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what we've been talking about all year. So that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said to go into the world and make disciples, and I'll go with you. We are not alone. Never alone. Y'all ready to sing? We're going to stand together and sing. If you have a decision to make, please come up here. Let's stand.